800-749-5936.
This is a call-in radio show.
It is.
Anyway, let's start from the ground up today.
That's a good start.
How low can you go? Let's talk about starting with dirt. Vegetable gardens. People are very anxious to get their tomatoes out at this point in time.
Maters, yeah.
And probably the most important factor in determining where your tomatoes are to grow.
Yes.
Is the location. Location, location, location.
Indeed.
It has to have good air drainage, good sunshine, good midday sunshine, if you will. Mm-hmm. Perhaps a little shielding from the really, really hot sun. Mm-hmm. I know that's almost strategically impossible.
Here in Oklahoma, when it gets a little warm, yes.
Nonetheless, a lack of air circulation will augment the heat problem with tomatoes. So you do want to have them in a situation where the air can freely flow through them. Perhaps a big fan.
I'm a fan of tomatoes.
No, but anyway, so pick out an area that's kind of open, wide open, wide in the open. Not in the corner of the backyard, perhaps in the center of the backyard somewhere, mm-hmm. against the fence maybe. On the east side of a fence would do rather well in an area that's well-drained. And then once you got your appropriate location picked out, you want to choose what varieties of tomatoes you might want. Mm-hmm. From the beginning, there are basically two types of tomatoes. There's determinate varieties of tomatoes and indeterminate. Well, it has nothing to do with the way they think. No.
I was going to say, I don't think they think much.
There is a variety of tomatoes which we carry called patio. Okay. And they are a determinate variety. Typically, in a container situation, you want a determinate variety of tomatoes. That means an indeterminate, typically, is like your sweet 100s mm-hmm. and your big boys and all that. They have they go and they just grow and grow and grow, make big old vines. So that's an indeterminate variety. So your indeterminate varieties, your bread and butter tomato varieties, I say bread and butter. mm-hmm. Nothing better than tomatoes on bread and butter. But anyway, your garden variety tomatoes, most of them are indeterminate. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure you have a structure on which the tomatoes can grow when picking out the variety. Now, it's not a good idea to support it on a fence that faces west. Because it gets really, really hot. It's a heat trap right there.
Especially right there late
in
the day.
You get splitting and cracking and other unsavory things going wrong with your tomatoes. So what I've done in my backyard is I have a T-posts and a cattle panel.
Okay.
You can buy them at the local farmer and ranch stores. They're 16-foot. They're difficult to transport. Mm. We have a caller.
Yes, we do.
Okay, put them on.
Hi, good morning. Welcome. You're on the show. You got a question for Larry?
Yes, I do. Has anyone noticed hummingbirds yet?
Hummingbirds. I have not seen any hummingbirds as of yet.
Okay, thank you.
They're due, though, any day.
Any day.
They're due.
Appreciate your call.
They have to have a food supply.
Yeah.
Yeah. So get cracking. We've got all kinds of flowers. We have all kinds of flowers that hummingbirds like, too. So anyway, as we were talking about tomatoes, mm-hmm. a good open air circulation, and I use a T-post and a cattle panel, and they come in 16-foot lengths, so they get a little difficult to transport from one place to another. Mm-hmm. So if you have a pickup truck, you can kind of fold them over, and you have this, it looks a bit like a wagon from the way back when, this arched thing going down the road.
Oh, yeah, it looked like you got a Conestoga thing going on.
Yeah, you bring your bungee cords to hold it down, too. So nothing's more difficult than picking up an unraveled cattle paddle in the middle of Highway 75. So anyway, so make sure you have a way to secure them when you get them home. And then you attach those. You mount them basically horizontally, upright, mm-hmm. 4 feet high and 16 feet long. Mm-hmm. And I just attached mine with a baling wire. It just holds it up just fine onto the T-post. And then, bingo, you got a tomato support. Works rather well. Another thing, of course, are the tomato cages. You can grow up those, too. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like the trellis support a little better. But anyway, so that's kind of your location and your drainage situation, your sunshine situation. Get it out. Mm-hmm. And so on your tomatoes. Hopefully you already have your soil ready for your tomatoes.
Got to work that dirt.
If you haven't worked your dirt yet, it's not too late to work that dirt.
Give me something to do today.
prepare that soil, get the shovel, sharpen it up first, get out the bench grinder, scrape the rust off of it so you can, so you can sharpen your shovel and get it.
Let your sparks fly.
Exactly. And if your soil is real heavy, you might consider adding some compost to the soil. We've done some ground prep for people in vegetable gardens, and we look at the soil, and sometimes you had to add a rather large amount of compost to the soil, as typical with our soil here. And they do very well in organic soil where the roots can really spread out and really take up a lot of nutrients. You have some very good luck with your tomatoes if you have a considerable amount of compost added to the soil.
Got it.
So the soil, you pick it up, but you should be able to reach in your hand, take a soil without having to, without your fingernails popping off. It shouldn't be that hard, in other words. And squeeze it.
That's a good gauge. It
should, yeah, you lose your fingernails. Whoops. Well. Soil's too heavy for your tomatoes. Well, anyway. And so you should be able to comfortably lift it out and squeeze it, and it should be somewhat resilient for them to do very well.
Very good.
Now,
easy test.
Okay, so you've got your tomatoes in the ground already. When do I mulch my tomatoes?
When do you mulch?
You mulch it typically when the soil temperature gets to be about 60. So that's something that I could monitor, but I don't. I haven't done that yet. I haven't been home that much.
You've been working.
But anyway, you can, when the soil temperature gets to be about 60, and you can go get you an inexpensive thermometer, and actually a good oven thermometer, not oven, but the for a cooking thermometer. I have one that I use for various things at home. Don't tell the wife.
Okay.
For testing soil temperature and all this other stuff. You clean it up real good. Mm-hmm. But a meat thermometer works rather well if it goes down to that range.
All right.
So that worked too well, but it's kind of an expensive way to do that. So really just kind of a little thermometer works just fine, and you kind of bury it in the ground, and then it'll tell you what the temperature is.
Got it.
So that's kind of a deal on that. Now, when the temperature gets up warm again, you can get to the warm point, you can go ahead and mulch them in. Or you can wait till the crabgrass comes up, and then when that happens, it typically is warm enough for the tomatoes to be mulched. And that should be rather shortly. I have seen some instances of crabgrass coming up in people's yards. So that's kind of it with tomatoes right now. So enjoy those. Plant them in the ground. It's one of our biggest sellers at the nursery. We have a great selection. Tomatoes, everything, patio tomatoes, sweet 100s to big old Beefmaster kind of things. You know,
about the size of two hands, huh?
You get a tomato the size of a Volkswagen, yes. But nonetheless, we do have a good selection of those right now. So, when you plant your tomatoes, they're one of the few plants that you can plant deeper into the ground and to be beneficial to them, too. Mm-hmm. If you find some tomatoes at the nursery, and we do have a few that are kind of leggy, get them.
Get them.
Because you can bury it a little deeper in the ground and run that stem underground for a while, and let the top kind of pop up a little bit, and you'll have more of a root system.
Great.
So just because they're leggy and ugly doesn't necessarily mean they're not a good tomato.
No, you got to know how to use that to your advantage.
Use that to your advantage and have them root in a much more significant root system on your tomato plant by doing that. So
Very good. Keep
that in mind, too.
Okay.
See if Gary will swing you a deal on some, you know. But it's a little early on that. So check them out. And we also have a tomato fertilizer, et cetera, et cetera. And we do have a brand new load of bulk mulch, which does a great job to keep the moisture in the ground and control the weeds and, make it easier to walk after it rains around your tomatoes, et cetera, et cetera. So check it out, too.
Works well all the way around.
Okay, so that's kind of the lowest part of the yard now. We get to, what are we doing in the lawn right now? Well, actually, to weed prevention in the lawn, the number one thing is good, healthy turf grass.
Got to have that.
It's the best way to control weeds. If you have a lot of weeds in your yard and very little grass, chances are the soil test would indicate a deficiency in the nitrogen. Primarily nitrogen. Typically, we have enough phosphorus in our soil, so you really don't need 10-20-10. So we have already enough phosphorus in our soil for the most part. There's very little cases of phosphorus deficiencies in our soil. Mm-hmm. The primary deficiency we have is trace elements and nitrogen. So if your grass is just kind of punky looking, it doesn't really want to grow, chances are you just need to fertilize it real well. Mm-hmm. And spraying the weeds, yeah, you want to get rid of those. But then again, that's not the primary reason why you have weeds. Is because of the weeds, is because the grass is not good. So
fix the grass, get rid of the
healthy weeds. Turf grass is the best way to control weeds in the yard. It is also, we're at the very, very tail end of crabgrass control. Remember I mentioned earlier that I went to somebody's house and they had a south-facing slope, mm-hmm. and it was just crabgrass was just coming up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen it in my yard. I put down crabgrass control about a month ago, and it's I don't have any crabgrass yet.
Yet.
You're going to get some.
Kind of happens.
But if you get a little bit of crabgrass and whatnot, it's not something to get upset about. It's just the survival of the fittest. So
yeah.
You want to zing it with a, go down to Kevin to get some MSMA.
We know a guy.
Yeah, we know. I know a guy. There are other post-emergent crabgrass control that you can use to mm-hmm. Control crabgrass. So anyway, that's that. Dandelions are up and coming right now, real showy. Broadleaf weed killer, they're really susceptible to that. I don't think it's going to rain for at least, 20 minutes now? So, so you can put down some broadleaf weed control. Be careful in the wind. The
come back on you.
Well, that too. And red buds are very sensitive.
Oh, yeah, broadleaf, get them on there. It's,
yeah, the leaves kind of cup in a little bit. Yeah. They're very sensitive to broadleaf weed control. Tomatoes are very, and crepe myrtles are very susceptible to those kind of things. So be very careful with all these plants that are coming up and blooming out. The crepe myrtles are starting to emerge at this point. You don't want to be very careful and choose a time of day in which the air is rather still. Mm-hmm. Of course, this is Oklahoma. And
good luck.
A still day is just not very common. Be out there with a flashlight putting down your weed killer. But anyway,
just remember, you don't want collateral damage with this.
No. Yeah, right. And it does tend to drift in the wind, and it can cause damage to your neighbors, tomatoes, crepe myrtles, and roses and things. So be very careful in the application of a weed weed control in the yard. Okay? Mowing, it's time on your fescue grass, it's time to start raising that lawnmower up a little bit. As it gets warmer, it's... it'll start to slow down. Fescue grass is a cool season grass.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to make sure it's ready for the heat when it comes. And it might look really, really nice when you mow it real low, but...
you're not doing it any favors.
Yeah, when the summer comes, you do want some height on that fescue grass so it can cool itself a little more efficiently. We talked about that last week.
Yeah.
Fertilize that fescue grass also. Mm-hmm. I like to use something with some iron in it. It does help darken the color. Make it a prettier, deep emerald,
deep green color.
Deep. It helps for your zoysia grass, too. Fertilizer with some iron in it, too. It helps, because zoysia tends to be kind of a olive green color. And if you want a really deep green, you want to put some fertilizer with some tracers in it, such as the iron and so on, sulfur. Mm-hmm. That does help darken that color a bit.
Okay. We're going to have to take a break right now. We're going to come back with more with the Green Country Gardener, Larry Glass, here in just a moment. But first, this 2-minute, 15-second timeout. Here are your COVID-19 postponements, closings, and alternative church services for this weekend, brought to you by Truity Credit Union, Brian Kennedy Farmers Insurance. Businesses affected by the Governor's Safer at Home executive order will be closed or alter operations in compliance with the order. Gatherings of 10 people or more are not allowed statewide for the time being. And for a list of businesses open, go to BartlesvilleRadio.com and click on the open button. For our churches, Dewey United Methodist Church is having a drive-in church at Don Tyler Park Sunday at 10 a.m. Listen on KRIG 104.9 for audio. Westminster Presbyterian Church is streaming live at Sunday 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. services at westminsteropc.com. First Baptist Church of Barnstall on KPGM 1500 and 99.1 Sunday service at 10:45. Spirit Church is moving to online services. Grace Community Church online service Sundays at 10:45 at gccbartlesville.org or on Facebook. Bartlesville First Baptist Church, all campus activities canceled. Sunday morning services online at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. at mybfbc.org or on Facebook. 11 a.m. service at K1 1400 and 93.3. Highland Baptist Church will move to online services at highlandbaptist.net or Facebook. Memorial Christian Church, no services till further notice. Same with Sooner Park Wesleyan Church. First Wesleyan Church of Bartlesville closed with streaming online at 9 a.m. traditional and 10:30 contemporary. FWCBartlesville.org. The First Church of the Nazarene will air on KYFM only and online at Facebook.com. BFCN NAS page. And Victory Worship Service is holding services Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Online services at openyourfaith.com. Get Real Ministries is holding a parking lot praise Sunday at 10:30. Stay in your vehicle and worship, and kids will get Easter treats this Sunday. Calvary Chapel Bartlesville is having online services Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Those are your COVID closings and alternative church services for this weekend. Brought to you by Truity Credit Union and Brian Kennedy Farmers Insurance on Bartlesville Radio, the ones you trust. Good morning. It's 8:25. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. I'm Tom Davis, and our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936. We were out playing in the yard when we last left you. So
you bet. A lot of people are dethatching their yards right now, which is just fine. Just make sure that the crabgrass control you picked up and bagged up is replenished. Yeah. So that. Although we've had some rain, so it's probably down in the soil where it really needs to be. Mm-hmm. I do like to dethatch before you put down the crabgrass preventer. But anyway, like I said earlier, you fertilize them real well, then they should fight the weeds pretty well. The Bermuda grass will do pretty well. Mm-hmm. Actually, zoysia grass is one of my favorite grasses. It's mm-hmm. just about the only one we put down anymore because it grows so dense that typically you had very few problems with weeds.
So, yeah, it just smothers them right out.
It costs a little bit more up front. You have to do some preparation on the soil and all that, mm-hmm. and applying and everything else. But in the long run, it's a very easy grass to manage, mm-hmm. and it's very tolerant of partial shade, where the Bermuda grass tends to thin out a bit, you know, what happens to mm-hmm. all of us.
Yeah.
Gets a little thin on top there.
There you go.
The zoysia grass will go ahead and tolerate some degree of shade. Mm-hmm. It can't tolerate heavy shade, but it can tolerate some shade. Gotcha. If you do have some trees around it, you might want to trim them up a bit so the sun can get down into it. Thinning the tree canopy is another way to do that, too, and there are a lot of professional tree people in town who can help you with that, too.
They're very good.
Very good about that, yes. Okay, enough with lawns already, geez. annuals. Now's the time to plant your annuals right now.
And you have plenty in stock, I imagine.
Right. The freeze, typically the freeze is over at this point in time. Well, not really. To the 15th.
So we got a chance of a little bit of a freeze Sunday night, low 30.
Yeah, so today is probably winter's last gasp.
I would hope so.
So go ahead and purchase your annuals. No mm-hmm. problem with it, but get the ground ready if you haven't yet.
There you go.
That's the biggest, the fun part is getting them planted and looking at them and all that. But the hard part is getting the ground done. So today will be a great day to go ahead and get your plants mm-hmm. and get the ground ready. Because what's the weather forecast supposed to do on Sunday night?
Well, let's see. Sunday night, it's going to be blustery down to 30, but Monday sunny and 50. And let's see. We're looking for another overnight low on Monday night of 31.
That's a squeaker.
Yeah, then we're up to 34 for the low on Tuesday night, but then we get back closer to 38, 40 degree overnights.
Well,
after
heat
that.
Wave, geez, what are we doing?
Yeah. The overnight. You know, I'm very familiar with the overnight temperatures because I come into work overnight.
Yeah.
I get here about 3 or so, and I'm really familiar with those frosty, freezy things.
You have to pull the choke on the old truck to get
it. Oh, yeah,
here,
you do.
To get
yeah.
it going, yeah, to get it started. But anyway, so it's kind of, we're kind of that transition period where it's a good chance of it getting cold.
Yeah.
If you put your annuals in the ground, you want to make sure you have a way to cover them at this point.
There you go. Good call.
However, what you can do is get all the back work done at this point. You can go ahead and get your plants, but put them in the garage or in a covered area, perhaps, before. But so when it does freeze like that, you won't lose them all and have to replace them. So I like to prepare my soil in the annual for the annuals, either by just turning it over. If you've got a really good soil, get it turned over. And maybe add some fertilizer to it to help them get started. And then when the time comes to plant them, then all the hard work's already done. And you might get some mulch to put in after your annuals, too. That does help keep the weeds out, a good layer of mulch. There's one weed called the mulberry weed.
The mulberry weed.
Oh, mulberry weed. And it, golly, when it comes up, it's already gone to seed, just 2 days or so. Not 2 days, but pretty shortly after it sprouted, it's already spitting out seeds all over the place. So, and it and it, its growth rate is exponential. It can take over your entire bed. And I have found that the best way to control that is a good heavy layer of mulch.
Thank you very much.
You bet. So that's a big problem, too, so that kind of weed. So anyway, so just get your ground ready, and then go ahead and get your annuals. And most people are home anymore anyway, so they can plant their annuals all week long. So really, timing is not much of an issue. So time to do that. Trees right now, they're breaking dormancy all over town, as we know from the pollen count. Oh, it's just horrible out there. Golly. I wake up in the morning feeling so good and get breakfast already, open the door, and bam, this pollen just hits you like a brick wall. I get all raspy-throated and all that. But anyway, it's just part of Oklahoma in the spring. The tree pollen is just off the chart right now. What we could use is just a little bit of rain just to cleanse the air. And I noticed this morning at 5 o'clock when I got up and looked in the backyard, it was smelled pretty good.
It did.
So we had a little bit of rain this morning, and just enough to clean it up a little bit. So anyway, so your trees are breaking dormancy. The maple trees have gone nuts this year. We've got little turtlegigs flying around all over the place. I know I have a whole yard full of them, and I got to get the snapper warmed up tomorrow and pick them all up and so they don't start growing in the yard.
Well, you don't want that.
No, not at all.
After you've done your dethatching and everything and you're all ready for green, you don't need those things.
Yeah, you got these twirly gigs all over your yard. It puts on quite a show when it's windy.
Oh, yeah, fun to watch. Pain to clean up, but they're fun to watch.
Yeah, but yeah, so my yard is a bit ragged looking on the surface. I can fix that pretty quick. They're also growing real fast, too. And what I mentioned earlier about the weed control, you want to try to make sure to pick a time when it's rather still. Yeah. And there's two types of 2,4-D or Trimec type weed controls. There's an ester and an amine. Mm-hmm. You want to use the amine type. It doesn't have the fumes that the ester does. And it still controls them, but you don't have this fumigation thing. A lot of your weed and feed type things has an ester type 2,4-D in it, a related substance in there. It kills by using a vapor. And if you get that near some of your plants, it can cause some problems with your desirable plants. Your low-growing shrubs and things can have some problems, too.
You don't want that.
So be very, very careful when applying that, and pick a time when it's quite still.
Very good.
So, also, when you use a weed and feed, you don't want it to rain within, on some of the bags, it says within 48 hours. Because it takes time for it to really work. So if there's rain in the forecast, which I think there is, pretty much today and tomorrow.
Yeah, today and tomorrow.
So it might not be a good day, unless you're a gambler. It might not be a good day to put down a weed and feed on your lawn, too. Yeah. So, perennials. We talked about the grasses and trees and shrubs and the perennials now. There's always time to plant new perennials, and we have so many varieties of perennials out there to choose. Anything from dianthus to butterfly bush, you got some of those. And the heuchera plants, really very popular shade-tolerant annual or perennials, too. And the good thing about them is they come back every year. We have a caller?
We might hear in just a second. We'll see. But right now it is 54 degrees, and let us go to the phone real quick. Hi, good morning. You're on the air. Do you have a question for Larry?
Yeah, that's what I have some hedge trees in my yard, and it's growing little suckers kind of at the bases and kind of out the roots.
Right.
I was wondering what a good way to stop those from coming back.
Well, there's no really chemical that will stop them without really damaging the whole plant. So physical removal is the best way to get rid of those.
Is there anything you can coat them with? Because it seems like it comes back from the same spot.
Yeah, you can go further down with a shovel. And I had that problem with my Yopon hollies at home. And I use, get that shovel good and sharp, and I just dig them out and go down to the root with them. And it controls them for a while. And then that particular species has a habit of coming back and doing that again. So it's almost an every 3 year kind of thing I have to do.
And like the ones that are coming out at kind of on the trunk of the tree too, is there any way, you know, if you cut those off, they'll come right back. Is there something you can coat those with to keep those from doing that?
Not really.
Okay.
No, you just cut them real close to the bark. It'll heal over real good. Try not to leave a stub on the stem when you cut. Try to cut it as flush as possible to the trunk of the tree, and that should arrest that for the most part. I have that problem with my plum trees, and I just cut them back real close to the stem. They heal over pretty quick, and typically don't have it again, but try to cut it real close, and that does a pretty good job. All right?
All right. Thank you very much for your call.
Thanks for calling.
We're going to have to take a little bit of a break, and we'll be right back after this two-minute timeout.
Peter's True Value wants to remind you that it's time for spring lawn care. Reseed your lawn now with Phil's Mix. Phil's Mix is a blend of 10 different varieties of fescue grass that grows in the sun and even in the shade. Start reseeding your lawn today with Phil's Mix. Only available at Peter's True Value in Dewey. And Peter's now has onion sets and seed potatoes in stock. Stop in today for all your lawn and garden needs at Peter's True Value, 1865 North Osage and Highway 75 in Dewey.
Spring is here and Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is open. For those of you that don't want to get out, Green Thumb offers curbside service or delivery to your home. Ultraviolet light kills viruses, and Green Thumb's plants are treated with ultraviolet light by Mother Nature. And arriving weekly, vegetable, herbs, trees, and shrubs. So come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, Sunday, noon to 5.
Make your home stand out from the rest with a new look that Groves Fine Woodworks and Remodeling can give you. They're contractors that offer bathroom and kitchen remodeling, trim carpentry, custom cabinetry, and hardwood refinishers. Voted best custom cabinetry of 2018 and offering veteran, firefighter, and law enforcement discounts. That's Groves Fine Woodworks and Remodeling. Call today for your free estimate, 918-214-6348.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generators for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses. So we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast No Water Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Nothing so loud. Good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener. And we have Larry Glass here. And of course, your phone calls at 1-800-749-5936. And we've been in the garden. We've been in the yard. We've talked about annuals and perennials.
You bet.
Yeah.
Shrubs now. I cut back my boxwoods this last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They were just getting too tall. They're disproportionate to the fence. And so I had to cut them back, and they look like little hat racks with a few leaves on them. But they'll come out, and they'll be small again. So for heavy pruning of plants like that, it's time to do that. Also, your Nandina plants, especially these dwarf Nandinas. There's a lot of tall and ugly, leggy dwarf Nandina plants. I'd like to, every time I drive by, I just want to get out there and just cut them back. I drive by, and now need to ring the doorbells. I'm going to cut back your dwarf Nandinas because they're ugly. But they need to be cut back about every 3 years.
Yeah.
A good heavy pruning about a span high. You know, you get a span, and a cubit.
Got it.
And a,
biblical measurements.
Exactly. So a span is about how high this should be. It's about eight or nine inches or so. So
take care of those.
Now it's time to do that so they're not ugly anymore.
Yeah.
And so and also the regular Nandinas, the Nandina domestica, mm-hmm. and the obsessions and so on. The moon bays, I cut back my moon bays real bad about a month ago, and they're coming out really, really nice looking. They look like brand new shrubs.
I bet they do.
So we got a caller.
I think so. I want to remind everybody of the number, though. It is 1-800-749-5936. Good morning. You're on the air. Question for Larry.
Yes. I have a lot of clover with the white bloom on it coming up in my yard. How can I get that out of there?
Well, you can put the cows on it. It makes good sweet cheese when you do that.
Oh, no.
I'm just kidding. No, really. A broadleaf weed control will take care of that.
Like what?
Like 2,4-D, Trimec. Something with a picture of a dandelion on it will do a pretty good job of getting that under control.
Okay. That won't hurt the grass, though.
No, but it's a selective. 2,4-D is a selective, or Trimec, either one. There's some others,
okay.
But this one's fairly common, and it's a selective control. It won't affect grasses.
All right, I appreciate that.
Very good. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the call. And you can get in too at 1-800-749-5936.
There's basically two kinds of herbaceous plants. Mm-hmm. Herbaceous plants meaning things like grasses and herbs and mm-hmm. dandelions and chickweed and all that other stuff. There's a there's dicots and monocots.
Gotcha.
And typically the 2,4-D is effective on dicots, of which the dandelions and clovers, et cetera, are a member of. So okay. It does a good job to control that. So anyway, we're talking about perennials, and we got a caller. That's most important.
So. I don't think so, but...
It's the office. Okay, that's cool. Anyway, perennials...
Well, wait a second. They are for us.
Okay.
Good morning. Hi, you're on the air. Larry, you got a question for Larry?
I do. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I have some Nandinas, and I was wondering how many years between should I cut them back, and what time of year to do that?
Well, Nandinas, it's about every 3 years they really need a fairly stern cutback for them to maintain appearance. So if they look kind of leggy and ugly, you'll want to go ahead and cut them back right now.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Kyle, you can cut them all the way to the ground. They come up nice and fresh, or you can leave a little stem on them, and they'll be back. They might not bloom this year if you cut them back really heavily, but they will bloom the next year.
Very good. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Appreciate it. 1-800-749-5936 is our number. Larry, we're going to have to take a small break, and we're going to be right back with more of the Green Country Gardener after this two-minute timeout.
Spring is here, and Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is open. For those of you that don't want to get out, Green Thumb offers curbside service or delivery to your home. Ultraviolet light kills viruses, and Green Thumb's plants are treated with ultraviolet light by Mother Nature. And arriving weekly, vegetable, herbs, trees, and shrubs. So come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, Sunday, noon to 5.
Don't paint yourself in a corner. Call LPL Painting and Company, professionally painting in the Bartlesville area for 20 plus years. All finishes, all surfaces, perfection corner to corner. You'll find their portfolio online or on Facebook. LPL Painting and Company, that's LPL Painting and Company. Fully insured, offering free estimates. Just call 918-214-1999 for consult and estimate.
Not only will you find top quality, low-priced, new and used vehicles at Roman Chevy Buick in Independence, but they also boast a top-notch parts and service department. Roman's has a full staff for big and small jobs, along with the best prices on tires in the area. Need a quick lube oil change? No need to make an appointment, because they can get you in and out in no time, and prices start at just $29.95. Featuring certified GM technicians, count on the finest service around at Roman Chevy Buick, 2313 West Main in Independence.
Here we are.
By the pandemic is the need for local people to support local businesses.
Let's not make rash decisions. Let's not spread panic and misinformation. You know, go to an official site. You guys have done a great job of communicating, so go to the radio site.
Here we are. We want to be precise. We don't want to give out information that proves later to be wrong.
Stay tuned for the latest on the COVID-19 crisis on K1, the one you trust. We're here to prepare you, not scare you. All righty, and welcome back. Here we are. It is 844. It's the Green Country Gardener, and phone lines are open somewhat at 1-800-749-5936. Larry, back to you, man.
Golly, geraniums. We have some really nice-looking geraniums. For those of you with color radio, I've got a picture of one here on my telephone, actually.
They are quite geraniums. Colorful. What do you know?
And, yes. Oh, here they are. Look at that.
That's my goodness sakes. Huh? Ooh, they're popping.
Yeah, they're very colored. We have all different colors of geraniums, too. So, anyway, they're a very popular plant to have in the garden. Make really good potted plants. Mm-hmm. We do have some pre-potted in big pots. So you come to the nursery, pick one out. We can deliver it, or you can take it home, set it on the porch. Bingo, gardening done.
There you go.
Go back to the couch. But they do make really, really good potted plants, and they last pretty much all summer. You have to make sure to cut off the dead blooms and so on. Just, there's a little bit of maintenance involved with them, and water them, of course. But other than that, they last summer was a fairly cool summer, and the geraniums did very well this last summer. So the way things are going, it's going to be another one this year, another cool summer. So. So anyway, we've got them all kinds of colors, too. There's one that's kind of a purplish red color, and then, of course, the red ones and the orange. Actually, I'm getting a lot of people wanting salmon-colored.
Really? That's a popular color this year.
The colors sort of come and go as far as popularity is concerned.
Well, I understand.
And we're getting some demand for salmon-colored ones, and a lot of demand for just the red.
Just red.
Geranium, too. That's the traditional red geraniums, too. So anyway, that's pretty cool. So they're out and ready to go. We started those back in October, and it's been a big, long labor of love to get them ready right now. They're really, really nice-looking plants. Uh-huh. So I got a lot of natural grass tied up into those, so come get them.
Come and get them.
Yeah. The color, of course, the color will last all summer. We have some roses also at the nursery. The drift roses popped in yesterday. Mm-hmm. Really, really nice-looking plants. So all kinds of colors. One thing I like about the drift roses is they don't get so awful big. And they have lots of little flowers on them. Mm-hmm. And they're very very low, almost no maintenance rose. Just do occasional sweeping with a weed eater in the wintertime. But hedge trimmers will do a good job of trimming them back. They're very durable. They're consistent from the root to the top. They're not grafted roses. They're a true form rose.
Got it.
And they're considered a floribunda rose. They're somewhere between a miniature rose and, say, a standard rose, actually, size-wise. Mm-hmm. We also have some standard size. We have some Julia Child roses, which is a good, reliable rose. Mm-hmm. Very, very few problems with the Julia Child roses, disease-wise and otherwise. They just and very resistant to black spot and so on.
Very good.
So we're getting those easy-growing roses in. We're getting those. We're carrying those more than anything, really, at this point, because they're so easy to grow. Why make more work?
Why make more work?
Yeah. Anyway, back to perennials. One of my favorite perennials is the Heuchera plant and the Hosta plant. These plants do very well in the shade and give you some good leaf color. The thing with perennials is they bloom, most perennials bloom for a specific time during the summer. Got it. And these give you color pretty much all summer long. Mm-hmm. I say pretty much.
pretty much.
You can't see them at dark. So
there you go. There's always that catch.
Can't see them when it's dark. So it's pretty much all summer. But anyway, they're very reliable, very easy to grow plants. The Heuchera plants stay real long in the fall, and they're one of the first things to come up in the spring.
Good.
And the leaf color is just unbeatable. And so they're really, really good plants to have. And they can tolerate a wide variety of soils. They don't like really heavy clay soil. Mm-hmm. So the better the soil, the better they do. But they will kind of slog along a little bit in heavy soil. Not do that all very well. Mm-hmm. And hostas also, they're popping out too. Hostas are a very popular plant. And golly, they come up so early and so quick in the spring. They're really very showy. The peonies are up too, peony plants. Mm-hmm. They haven't bloomed yet. Typically, when they bloom, we have a real heavy storm.
Then they just explode.
Yeah, so nothing's going to happen this week. Then they just bloom. When they bloom, then typically we have a weather front through, and the tornado sirens ring when the peonies bloom. So
early warning system in your front yard, folks.
So all clear this week.
All clear. That's good to know. Yeah. I had plans.
So now's a good time to put up support structure for your peony plants so they don't nod to the ground too bad.
Okay.
Tomato cages work real well for that.
They do.
So or some other way to support them up. Mm-hmm. Unless you have some of the Japanese peony plants. We carry those too, but the only problem is they're $100 a plant.
Wow.
Yes. But golly, they're so beautiful.
They are.
And they bloom. They put on so many flowers, and they bloom for a fairly long period of time. And they stay upright very, very well.
Sturdy.
Very sturdy plants.
Worth every yen.
So anyway, that's kind of a little bit with perennials. It's a little early for a lot of your warm season perennials, such as your Echinacea and other things. Some of the others are ready. The Japanese painted fern is another one I really like. They're up and running right now, too.
They are.
They're fast to come up. And I do like the different colors that are in the Japanese painted fern. Mm-hmm. They're anywhere from a silver to a green to a purple, all this together in the same plant. And for those of you with heavy shade, this one works very well. Mm. It likes highly organic soil. When we plant these in the landscape, we really augment the soil significantly with a mixture of peat moss and compost. So if you really want them to succeed, they need that. We did a landscape over in Woodland Park in 1999 with the Japanese painted ferns, and we did it, and it's still there. They come up every year, and they've been a very reliable repeater, and that's quite some time.
That is.
That's, 30 years.
It's a good start, as they say.
Yeah, so they've been in this particular house, and others we planted have done equally as well. So it's a good one to have, and for a long-lasting plant, you don't get 30 years out of a Chevy unless you change the oil when you do. I've got 35 years on it. But anyway, so you might consider some perennials in the landscape for recurring color. You know, that tree in the front yard, the grass won't grow around. Mm-hmm. You might consider putting a bed in there. And to do that, you have to add some soil and a lot of compost so you don't smother the roots. And just take some stones and put around it and make a bed. And a lot of these perennials, such as the painted fern and the hosta and so on, are fairly shallow-rooted, so they will grow in the situation. And in that same situation, we've planted gardens like that, and they've done very well.
Good.
In shade. So you might consider that in that troublesome spot in the front. I've got one in my yard I need to address. But I can't get to it.
Stay home long enough.
I can't get to it, no.
Take care of everybody else's yard right now.
Yeah. So anyway, we talked a little bit about trees and annuals and perennials and shrubs right now. You want to fertilize those shrubs. Your boxwoods, your nandinas, and your hollies will benefit from a fertilizer that has some iron in it. I mention iron all the time.
We need it.
Because our soil here, the pH is a little high, and a lot of these trace elements aren't available to some of these plants. So you need to lower that pH a little bit and put some supplemental iron in there. And the dwarf yaupon holly is one I mentioned earlier that is kind of olive green color. And I get mine down to a deep green color by adding an iron sulfate. We have it in a package called copperas, or just iron sulfate. It used previously called copperas. We got several different formulations of iron in the soil. There's a reason why we carry a lot of iron. It's good for muscle development.
Good for soil development,
and,
too.
Good for soil development, yeah. So you might consider getting, if your hollies are looking a little punky, you might consider getting some iron in there. That should help them out a whole lot.
Very good. We're going to take one last time out. We'll be back in just a moment with the Green Country Gardener after this two-minute timeout.
Back in the early 1930s, Frank and Jane Phillips hosted a wonderful party at their lodge home at Willow Rock. For this special party, Frank hired the world-famous magician Harry Blackstone to provide the entertainment for the large crowd. Throughout the evening, Blackstone amazed the guests with his card tricks and sleight of hand, with the crowd applauding and laughing as the tricks got better and better. Finally, Blackstone asked Jane Phillips to step forward. He reached into his coat and removed a new deck of cards and dramatically unwrapped them, removed the cards from the deck, and shuffled them several times. He then asked Mrs. Phillips to cut the cards, which she did, pulling the Queen of Spades, which she showed to the crowd. She put the card back into the deck, and Blackstone carefully shuffled the cards two or three times, then suddenly spun around and threw the entire deck of cards into the wall of the lodge, just to the left of the front door. 51 cards fell to the floor, and the Queen of Spades stuck on the wall, where it still remains today. A perfect example of the magic of Willow Rock. Come see it for yourself, and welcome home to Willow Rock.
Be safe, be strong, be careful, and don't spread rumors.
Thank everybody at Bartlesville Radio for helping us through this coronavirus thing. It's really helped my family and everybody that we know.
Up to the minute report.
Our radio station, our media is sharing that over and over and over again.
On COVID-19.
Thank you and the radio station for all you're doing to put the word out.
Thanks for keeping us informed.
We really appreciate Bartlesville Radio.
Together.
We will get there.
We're here to prepare you, not scare you. K1, the one you trust.
Listen to K1 anywhere and with Amazon Echo.
Alexa, tune to KWON Bartlesville.
Getting station KWON.
One more way to enjoy your favorite station. K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3.
Good morning. Welcome back. It is 8:55, the Green Country Gardeners. We've got some of those, looks like a rain cloud forming in the western sky. We'll see if that holds anything for us. Right now, let's get back to Larry and our good old garden advice. What you got?
Clematis is a very popular vine, and we just got a bunch of those in, all kinds of cool-looking flowers. Nice-looking configurations of them, too. They need a structure to grow on. It could be a simple trellis, or something in which you can attach it to somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Even a tomato cage will work.
You know, those things are coming in handy all over the place today, yeah. Aren't they? Those tomato cages?
Yeah, they do very well. But anyway, you might consider a clematis vine in an area that doesn't get a lot of hot afternoon sun. They will grow in the sun if the root system is shielded from the hot sun. In other words, you put them, say, behind some shrubs. And if you have an area behind some shrubs, you can plant one of these and let it tower above the shrub that way. Mm-hmm. But they do like cool feet, and they do very well here. So they need a climbing structure. They sort of hold themselves up. Their leaves actually have I can't get the word right. The petiole on the leaf.
There you go.
Attaches the plant to a certain kind of trellis. Some people use strings. In a V shape coming up like that,
they'll
attach to that, and use one that's of course sunlight resistant. Maybe a good nylon twine or something will work very well. A baling wire will work. It'll rust a little bit, and they'll be able to grip onto it that way too. But some kind of a structure, and they'll do very well. Just one of those trellises you get at the home store.
That's it. That's
work very
need.
Well. You can put a frame around that and attach it to the house, and they'll grow up on that. And you have all these really nice looking flowers on it. So they're very rewarding in the spring. They grow very aggressively, too, in the spring. Yeah, during the wintertime, they look like some kind of dead mass of stuff.
Oh, my.
They're not very attractive in the wintertime. But in the spring, they grow and develop so quickly that it very quickly overcomes that. And it's surprising how fast these things grow in the spring. From this vine that looks like it's just totally dead, to something that's really productive and rapidly growing. It's so amazingly fast on clematis vines. So right now, the ones that are out in the garden are just barely starting to differentiate and produce some flowers at this point. Same with the ones we've got in. We have a picture tag on them, so you'll know what the flower looks like. And then you can pick one out that'll do very well. Prepare the soil real well. Make sure it's good drainage soil. Get your hand to reach into it and pull out a handful of soil without a whole lot of trouble, and they'll do just fine. Good plants to have, good perennials that need a support structure. And just a really spectacular flower show with these clematis vines.
You got to love them, and so they're available.
And a lot of people have very, very good luck with these, too. Even those that are neglected.
I'll show you.
Yeah, really. Some people give up on them. They whack them all the way to the ground. These aren't going to come back, and they come up.
There you go. All of a sudden. Resilient guys.
Another plant that's coming up really early this year is a hardy hibiscus.
Thus the name hardy.
Be careful when you're working in your garden, when you're around where your hardy hibiscus were. Hopefully when you cut them back, you left some stem up so that you know where they are. But they're starting to come up right now, too. And this really early. Normally, we don't see anything till the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like 2 weeks early this year.
And it's
the way our seasons change here so quickly, it's amazing that these have come up as soon as they have all over people's houses, too. So anyway, we've got all kinds of stuff. We got great potting soil to look at. You need some topsoil. We got some. We got it protected from the weather, so we can deliver it to your house. Yeah, you might there's some things you might want to get. You don't want to come out. Just give us a call. If you know kind of what it is, we can get it for you, or we have it in stock. And always remember, when you plant your plants in there, keep that shovel sharp, because it sure makes it a lot easier to make your yard real pretty. See you next week.
All right. Take care now.